Well, we just finished the morning session over here for the final day of the Magica Live event, and I'm here with Noel Britton, all the way from Bristol.
Bath.
Good to have you here.
England, Bath, England.
That's right. Well, yeah, as opposed to Bath, Nevada.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have that Nevada or English. You have an English accent, not an American accent. It's a little bit different.
Slightly.
A couple things. One is that I know that you have been to Magic Live and others in the past.
Yes.
So, like with any convention, they're always uneven. They're never going to be always the same. They either continue to go up or down, or overall, what is your general opinion since we're into our final day here so far? How do you like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, like you say, the highlights will always match the highlights, and the lowlights will always match the lowlights. So it's always going to be different. And you know, most conventions, unless they've got a very rigid format, you know, you can compare one to another. But as soon as you're trying to do different things each year, then suddenly it's more difficult to compare one with another and stuff like that. So you know, I think the best presentations at Magic Live this year have been up with the best presentations I've had in the past,
and that's what I was going to ask. So what are your highlights? What comes immediately to mind?
I think Joni Spina is always an absolute delight to listen to and an absolute inspiration to watch, and you know, just comes across as a lovely, lovely person with a, you know, such a great manner for directing and bring the best out of people. So I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm here, you know, this year, is to see her. And Kevin Spencer talking about the sort of altruistic side of magic, which is something that I help organise a convention in England. It's one of the things that we're sort of focusing on this year is you know, using magic for a
healing.
Yeah, well, not even necessarily healing, but like an altruistic reason of more just than I'm fooling you or I'm making money out of this. So
just for entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, so occupational therapy, or I mean, we've got some guys talking about how they've used it with refugees and stuff like that. It's just, you know, I think that's very inspiring. I mean, a lot of the reasons that people get into magic and the reason that magic survives is on an ego basis, right, and stuff like that. So to hear someone talking, coming from a different angle and putting the emphasis on someone else is, you know, that's what magic should be about. And when you see someone talking and giving selflessly, like Joni does in directing and like Kevin Spencer was talking about with the healing side of it, right, you know, it sort of puts everything else into perspective, really. Then when the next person suddenly starts talking about, you know, oh, this is how to get more bookings or how to get on TV and stuff like that, you just suddenly start thinking, well, is that what it's about?
It's not all about me.
No. And unfortunately, you know, I think 98% of magic is about me. And so when you see people who are doing something bigger with it, it's just, you know, it's very inspiring and worthwhile.
One of the things that Kevin talked about yesterday, I was unaware that there were so many other organizations that, like Magicians Without Borders, of course, I remember Project Magic with David Copperfield, and there were, you know, some others that Lisa Menna was involved with and some others. I didn't know about some of these other organizations.
Yeah.
That have such a worldwide reach.
And I mean, two of the guys.
Magic related.
Yeah, and two of the guys we've got speaking at the Macmillan Convention this year in November in London, that they're doing stuff in London with kids with hemiplegia, which is the sort of like claw-like grip of hands and stuff like that, and they're having the same results over there, that kids are being given occupational therapy and they, you know, they get bored with it really quickly because there isn't actually any reason to do it, you know, especially when you're a kid. I think when you're an adult you can go, oh yeah, if I'm doing this I can, you know, it's going to do me good in the long run. Children, that's a very difficult concept to get over and stuff like that. If you teach them a trick where they've actually got to pick something up And they want to practice it because they want to show their friends and their family and stuff like that, that suddenly is, you know, they're doing the therapy naturally by doing something that they want to do, as opposed to something that they're being told to do by a therapist, which is never going to be as successful.
That's true.
So consequently, the results are, like, you know, apparently they go off the scale compared to normal methods.
Right.
Of
it has to do with motivation, I think.
Yeah, and the motivation is coming from them because it's something they want to do, as opposed to something they're being told to do, right, for their own good. You know, in the same way that adults, you know, people tell you, oh, you're overweight, you should go on a diet. You know, it's, that's not as self-motivating as you deciding that you actually want to lose weight. You know, your doctor telling you is different to you deciding yourself that you want to lose.
I guess that's like if someone has an addiction and they finally decide, okay, I'm going to do this. I mean, I have to recognize you have that.
Sure.
But I think Kevin kind of put it succinctly there yesterday when he was saying that a hug from the father of an autistic child who speaks for the first time in 9 years is better than a million people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, when people say, what's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to you at the end of a show, you know, with me, it was a woman came up, I used to street perform and stuff like that.
Right.
I was doing a show on the street and this woman came up and said, you know, oh, thanks very much for doing it. I went, oh, you know, it's a pleasure like that, you know, and she dropped some money in the hat. And she said, I just want you to know that's the first time I've laughed since my husband died.
Wow.
You know, and that means so much more than people coming, oh, you should, you know, why aren't you on TV, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, you know. And so what Kevin was saying yesterday is...
Those are the memories.
Absolutely. And the other thing that Kevin said that I think is important, because there is, you know, it's part of the human psyche, I think, this me attitude of what's in it for me doing something like that. You know, I think people look at that and go, oh, yeah, this will be great. You know, I can get my name in the papers and I'm going to look like a nice guy because I'm doing it and stuff. And you've got to be very aware of why it is that you're doing it, you know. And I think Kevin approached that, you know, really eloquently yesterday in saying, you know, well, there are those aspects of it, but, you know, that isn't why you should be drawn into it. You know, and I just think that's, you know, it's very important. I can see people thinking, oh, this is just a, you know, I might be able to network if I do this and stuff like that. And again, it's the what's in it for me mentality as opposed to a slightly more giving mentality and thinking about other people.
Well, there are opportunities for people around the world to participate through obviously going and working in hospitals and things like that. And within our community, Magic Community in Houston, that we have a gentleman, Steve Shane, who's in charge of our charity shows. And he will put people together to go to work at the children's hospital, and they'll do some strolling in the rooms, and that we will go within with a particular person will lock the doors, make sure it's okay that we come in, and then we'll have, you know, one of us to go in. And then also we have other times in which we'll do like a 40-minute show, and they'll bring all the kids, you know, into one room or something. And it's those kinds of things and opportunities that you shouldn't be doing just at Christmas or sometime whenever that you think, oh, well, this is a good time to kind of give back. But it should kind of be an ongoing thing. I mean, if you're committed to something, that's different than it's like, I'm doing it now for Christmas because it's about me. I feel good about myself because, okay, well, I've done this for somebody. But I think it's one of those things about giving without telling people. You know, doing it anonymously,
absolutely.
Of thing. You know, it's for others and not to build. You're not looking at the book shows from the hospital, people who are in the hospital. You would never think about that. So are there...
But I think also, you know, and I think people have started it from a... Not from a... selfish is too strong a term, but I mean, I know Michael Finney talking about the Dry Heat Classic. He said originally he set it up because he wanted to have a, you know, a fun weekend with his mates,
friends.
And you know, what if I invite them down there, you know, and you know, I'll do it as a charity thing, you know. And the interesting thing is that, well, after 3 or 4 years, I suddenly realised actually what the good it was doing, and suddenly that changes your view on it and stuff like that. So, you know, occasionally I think people do, they, you know, they can get into it for a different reason, it ends up still being, you know, a worthwhile thing to do. But one of my pet hates is I'm a member of the Magic Circle, and the Magic Circle has an email list between the members and stuff like that.
Yes.
And occasionally they get forwarded, you know, requests for charity
shows. Yes.
And there are a couple of people who go on every single time when a charity thing comes up and goes, you know, look, why are we allowing these, you know, invitations to go out? You know, this is taking jobs away from people, and we should be charging them the full amount and stuff like that. And you know, and I'm going fine. If that's the way you look at it, that's your opinion and stuff like that. But don't try and then foist that onto other people, you know, and make people feel bad that they might just say, well, actually, you know, I haven't got anything that day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to charge. And, okay, yeah, the catering's getting paid and they've got to pay for the venue. But, you know, if I can give up my time and I'm not doing anything else, then that's a good thing to be doing, you know, as opposed to this peer pressure of, oh, you know, you're taking a job away, or, you know, why do they think they can get it for free? And
a couple of nights ago, I spoke with David McGee, which I've already posted on the podcast, and he said, in essence, I don't care that these other guys aren't taking, you know, charity shows because I'm doing them. Because He's not looking at it from an egotistical standpoint. He's not looking at it from a booking standpoint, but it's something because he gives out of the love and the charity from his heart. But the dividends that it pays have been phenomenal as far as people he has met and giving him entree into certain other areas. And he said it's you know, like it would say in the Bible, where that if your cup will overflow, you know, give and more will be given back to you,
right.
You know, basically. And so he said it just seems by providence or whatever, you know, whenever I do something that sometime later something comes up that more than makes up for whatever my time would have been and spent, you know,
sure.
But
you know, as soon as people start hearing that, then they think, oh, well, that's a valid reason for doing it, because
yeah.
there's going to be a payoff and stuff
yeah.
like that. And I just, you know, I think that's what Kevin, you know, as I said really eloquently yesterday, was you've got to know the right reasons why you're doing it. And
right.
Because it, you know, it's also a commitment. You know, I know the occupational therapy stuff is a long-term thing. You can't just breeze in there and go, oh, well, I'll pop in there once, you know,
right.
get my name in the papers, look like a bit of a good guy, and then
right.
you know, skedaddle out.
Do it for publicity.
You've got to, yeah, exactly. You know, it's a commitment thing, and if you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, I think as long as you can see that the payback is going to be seeing progress in their
yeah.
development and their recovery and stuff like that, and you know, like you said, what Kevin was saying, you know, getting a hug from a parent because he's just seen his kid talk for the first time in 8 years, that is what you want to be thinking of as the best possible result, as opposed to, oh, it's networking or it's
right.
you know, karma, and you know, you give and it will come back, and or whatever. I just think that's such an important element of it, and I think all the people who do it best and do it most successfully are the people who've got that
mentality
in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You talk about having a nice compliment after you were performing street magic, someone saying it, that was the first time that she had laughed. It reminds me of Rolando Santos, who was a past president of the IBM, past international president, and he was saying, I want to say it was in Spain or like in Madrid or someplace. He was at a restaurant, and he went to a table for some reason, was performing, and it was a table of ladies, and afterwards they, you know, he found out from them that this was their last meal they were having with their mother, I think, who was going to the hospital basically to die, I guess, you know. They had taken her out, you know, and she was going to be going back or whatever, and this just made this last meal of ours even more special.
Sure.
It's like, wow. You just never know when and where you're going to touch somebody.
No, not at all, no. I mean, I stopped doing the street performing thing now, but I do a guided tour around Bath, and again, that was, you know, one of the reviews we had on TripAdvisor was someone saying pretty much the same thing.
Of yeah.
like, you know, she said, we've had a really hard year, you know, I took my mum on this thing just to try and take her mind off it, not really knowing whether it was going to, you know, work or not.
Yeah,
you know,
hard.
And at the end of it, I just turned her and said, I can't believe I've seen you laughing that much and stuff like that. You know, those things, it just, you know. But I'm not thinking, oh,
yeah.
well, they booked me for the, you yeah. know, their next bar mitzvah
yeah,
or kids party. You know, if that's the end goal, then that's enough. So
yeah.
and that's the way it
yeah.
should be.
Now, speaking of Bath, that when I was there a few months ago, that
sure.
that was the night you were off. So
there's only one night.
I gotta come back.
There's only one night we don't run in 7 months of the year, and Scott
yeah.
turned up that
yeah.
night. So yeah.
Well, getting back to the conventions, then also because you work in booking for the Macmillan, and then
yep.
for this, you know how difficult that it is. That,
sure.
What have you thought of the act? Is there anything here that you think I might ask some of these guys?
Yeah, I thought David Deaver was the only guy that he's the only guy that I haven't seen so far.
Yeah, me
you know, so I mean, everyone else I was aware of. You know, it's great to see them again.
Except
and see
for
them
Sir
doing
Patrick,
stuff.
This guy that
yeah,
Joni
sure,
brought,
yeah,
that
Joni brought, yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, and
yeah.
and I mean, yeah, it's one of my great regrets is Joni was meant to come over to Macmillan's a couple of years ago, and,
yeah.
and then you know, she had to pull out at the last minute with other commitments and stuff like that, which was a great shame because I mean, I just think what she does is remarkable.
Phenomenal.
It's
yeah.
it's really you know, it's just done with such affection and stuff like that, and the way she phrases things, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just really beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
I just think she's got, you know, a lovely spirit in the way that she treats people and the way that
she
gets the best
out of
them.
It's not like,
no,
you know, that's wrong,
yeah,
do
yeah.
it different, you know.
No.
Yeah.
And she'll say, she's the best person at being able to say in a very positive way what's wrong with someone's act. I mean, you don't feel you're even being
yeah.
criticised or critiqued when she's picking at the bit that she most wants to change.
It
sounds
to, but,
like
yeah.
you know, it's just wonderful to see
yeah.
her work, and even when she just stands on stage and she's talking about changing someone's act, and she just says, you know, and you've got to be able to draw them in, and she does those moves, I think naturally, just as a body language thing, as she's talking about them. And you can just see the power that she's got on
stage. She reminds me of a sculptor, I should say, one who molds clay as opposed to someone who chips away.
Yeah. No, absolutely, know? yeah. Because Patrick isn't, you know, that's not the sort of act that you'd expect her to work with and stuff like that.
Right.
And when she was coming over to him, then, you know, I was saying, oh, well, you know, would you be happy to work with a patter act? And would you be happy to look at someone who does close-up? And, you know, and she was, yeah, that was great. So there's the man himself.
There he is right there.
To.
Yeah, Patrick? Yeah. I was tied up with some other folks. But, yeah, that was pretty phenomenal, I thought. Transformation and the longest sustained standing ovation of anything that we've had.
Sure. Yeah, no. I mean, you know.
Show
and
transformation.
And for a different reason than a usual standing ovation,
sure,
and stuff like
sure.
that. Yeah. I mean, Jason Andrews was the same. The first Magic Live that Joni did a session, I watched that with Jason Andrews, and it was the same thing because, you know, it is. It's a huge pressure to do something new in front of, you know,
so
a whole
people.
Bunch of peers and other magicians and stuff like that. So I take my hat off to anyone that does it. You know, I think it's an absolutely worthwhile thing to do. And, you know, Joni does it via Skype now and stuff like that, and she'll take people on individually. So, you know, you don't feel, oh, God, if I do it, I'm going to have to stand up in front of magicians, you know, when the final product is,
the
ongoing product is revealed.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, people are willing to do it and do it in public is very impressive indeed.
Specifically this guy, from the standpoint that he's never been to Las Vegas and never even been on an airplane.
Sure.
You know, and for him to stand up with that kind of confidence and perform for these kinds of magicians in a completely foreign place, it was just another part of why it was phenomenal, I think.
Sure.
That was why I got the ovation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate Noel. It took a little bit more time, but we went in a different direction.
I'm glad
we, that was fascinating, I tell you. That was really great. Thank you for your time. By the way, title of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast, so I was wondering if what your magic word might be. It wouldn't have to be like abracadabra. It could be your life motto. What do you live by? What is important to you? It could be a phrase, even.
I'd say the word concentrate in all its meanings. So
concentrate
on what people are saying, concentrate on what you're reading, concentrate in the sense of making things stronger, you know, so like filtering out the weaker lines, the weaker routines in your act, concentrating it like concentrating orange juice,
making
it stronger.
Right.
And you know, my other big thing is concentrating on one aspect of magic.
Mm-hmm.
So although you read on all aspects of magic and stuff like that, when it actually comes to performing, that you just concentrate on one aspect. I think that the elements of performance that you need are so different between close-up and stage, are so different between doing patter and silent, so different between doing illusions and, you know,
mentalism
or whatever.
Right.
Say that you can do all of them, to me personally, is as alien as someone saying, oh, I'm a great ballet dancer and I'm a great opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going, no, you're going to be, you know, at best you're going to be mediocre at both of them.
And you have to
So if you concentrate on one thing, to me that makes life a lot easier. You know, instead of running around trying to get bookings in, you know, different genres of magic, all that time could actually be spent on trying to get more bookings in one genre of magic, you know, the one that you really enjoy, and becoming stronger in that and becoming better at it, and you become a better performer and a, you know, a better act.
That's a great word. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Noel Britton, and from the floor following the opening session at Magic Live, this is Scotty out. Well, the morning session is over, I should say the general session, and that I'm just sitting here watching them opening up the world's largest mouth coil, Cressy mouth coil. I'm guessing it's going to be close to a mile when it's probably finished. So these guys are getting their exercise, and I think that's part of their reasoning for pulling this out. But anyhow, I'm here with the current Society of American Magicians president, Mr. Dal Sanders, and the First Lady, Cindy. Hey, welcome.
Well, actually, I'm better known as Mr. First Lady these days. So.
Mr. First Lady.
Yes.
I can see why. Cindy has always been by your side, it seems like. You have the best pool parties.
That's absolutely right, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Look at her. I need to get a picture of a child, you know, working with it. pulling that out. Anyhow, so Mike, you've been in the blue session, I see, mm-hmm. and you're in blue also. So you haven't seen the morning opening session, so I haven't got a chance to talk with you yet. It was pretty phenomenal. I think you'll enjoy.
Well, I've really enjoyed the TED Talk style of all these sessions.
Yeah.
It's a different way to do lectures, and I think it's the right way right now for this modern time.
So. I saw someone on Twitter who had said, "I haven't learned one trick, but I've learned so much magic."
Absolutely, I can absolutely agree with that.
That's great.
And aside from that, of course, just having a team of friends has been just the right thing, I believe, for a theme of this. But I think for conventions really to continue, they've got to make some sort of change, and this seems to have the right mix. I mean, look at the number of people, and Stan's saying that it's just growing almost exponentially. We may not have room for this the next time. I mean, as far as New Orleans, we have to go to a different hotel even.
Yeah.
So how will this affect, if at all, next year we've pretty much got a lot of the combined convention, IBM and SAM already in the can, but will there be some aspects of this? You think that as president you might have some influence on some of these guys to say, hey, what if we do this or that?
Well, for the combined convention, we have a committee of convention planners from the IBM and the SAM.
Mm-hmm.
So the president doesn't really have that much say-so in the conventions.
You just show up.
I've just found that out. We have a lot of we have a lot of other things we have to deal with. So we have committees to deal with the convention. But if our committees are paying attention, and I know they are, I've talked to Mike Miller, I've talked to some of the other guys
Mark
that are
Whitehouse.
Here, Mark Whitehouse. I'm trying to think of some of the IBM guys that are here, and I can't think of them. But I know
I'm surprised Sean Farquhar wasn't here. He's not on the committee, I guess.
On the committee now, but he is he's on a boat. I just saw him 2 weeks ago at PCAM. But anyway, for this thing to continue, we're going to have to be more innovative in our approach. And years ago when they did the first close-up experience, I said then...
IMX, yeah.
I said then... the close-up experience here
At Magic Live, sorry.
Magic Live, right. When I saw that close-up show, I said, we need to start doing more things like this that are innovative for our close-up shows in all conventions. And we haven't.
Well, with the exception, you talk about the SAM. I'm sorry, because the TAOM, a few years ago, remember in Austin that they had the black box that they had set up?
That's right.
That was the best conditions,
great.
I think, ever.
That was absolutely right. I forgot about that. That was the one exception that I've seen at these other conventions.
Yeah.
We just need to... We need to pick Stan's brain. Stan Allen is, or the people that he's got around
him. Right.
Whoever is making these suggestions are geniuses, and we need to follow up with that, with those ideas.
What would be the first suggestion that you would make?
To
the conventions in general.
The first suggestion I would make is the dealer room. The dealer room here is limited hours. It's not open until, from
midnight,
8 a.m. until midnight. And you're not beating the poor dealers up. They've got limited hours, and the dealer rooms have stepped up a lot.
It's an exciting place to be.
That's
nice,
right.
It's just not a booth. I mean, it's just not a table with stuff on it.
Right. And these dealer rooms, I mean, it could almost be an extra pay event.
Yeah.
They're so good and so creative. A lot of people at other conventions would say, "Yeah, I'll pay extra to see a dealer room like that."
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing I would do, change our thinking about the dealer room. Dealer room started off with dealers putting things in their hotel rooms, on their beds, and then they all moved them into a room, and it hasn't changed since that until Magic Live. A few years ago, Brian Daniel was the first one to change the whole dealer room concept, and it's changed, been like that every year since then. So that's the first thing I would do. Dealer room needs to be different. I love the fact that every single lecture and every single event has free lecture notes. That's something that Stan has done since the very beginning.
Right.
And I think that's something that we ought to talk to all of our presenters at all the conventions about. What can you give people?
Right.
That they can go home. Not just what can you sell people, but what can you give people?
So they feel like they get value for their registration.
That's right. Added value is very, very important, I think. And I think everybody is looking for added value these days.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea, certainly, of trying to change something with the dealer's room. I like the idea that, number one, that they had the... something special on the opening night. In other words, like on Sunday nights, like if you didn't get that special on that night, it's not going to be offered the next few days. You know, because people, I bought a couple of things, and you know, you got like a bonus with it if you bought it then. You know,
that's right.
And in addition, of course, then they gave you tickets that you could then go into a raffle and you would, you know, win a bonus prize or whatever. And then beyond that, and then second of all was that Stan had encouraged but not required people to roll out something new. So this is the first time that something would be introduced to be a new trick, book, whatever it happens to be at their booth, you know, for this time. So if something like that could happen, I mean, it's hard to have that freshness,
that's
I guess.
That's a great idea, too. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a very exciting, well, every Magic Live, I've never missed one. I don't think you have either.
I have. I've got the first one, the third one, and the fifth one.
So you're just doing the odd numbers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm the odd one. So
yes. Yeah.
I don't know why I missed the second and the fourth, but and I'm excited then about the next one, which is going to be in 16. He's announced, of course, which coincides with the 25th anniversary of the Magic magazines. I'm sure the magazine's going to still be in business. It's amazing how the print magazines or print media has continued. Speaking of which, about the MUM, I mean, and like the linking room for the IBM, you know, that those are both journals for our organizations that are, I'm sure, under scrutiny, under review, and trying to decide who should they continue in the same manner that they are currently or not. Are there any changes for
there's nothing
plans
actually
currently
in the works, but you can look to see some updates on the MUM online with some added value in the very near future. It's going to be very interesting what we're doing. You know, we're stepping up the game a little bit.
I think you have to.
We were one of the first people online with the MUM.
Yeah.
I remember that argument. You know, everybody saying, no, everybody wants the paper magazine, especially our older members. And I happened to be in that meeting, and I was still new. I was just an RVP. And finally, I raised my hand, and I said, you know, my daddy is 84 years old.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loves his Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I mean, he lives in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And he, every day, this was the most important thing, that he'd get his newspaper. If he did not get the newspaper that day, if it was, or if it was wet, he had a bad day.
Yeah. It's a day without sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but then he discovered that he could get the exact same content online. And he discontinued getting the...
At 84.
Yes, at 84. And so I said, your excuse that the older people aren't going to want to read something online is absolutely wrong. Looks like they just finished unrolling the world's second largest mouth coil.
The first one being?
I don't know how long the first one was. I know this one was... don't get him, Cindy. The first one was... this one was 8.4 pounds. I don't know exactly how long it is yet. I think they were measuring it, so...
I'll go get a picture of that. I'll be right back.
Okay,
pause
great.
This.
Ah, nice.
See, did
all
you just
right,
hear
well,
that?
They just know. What was
he
that he said?
Said? Oh, it's Cindy's husband.
There you go. Thank you, Randy. So, anyhow, that, yeah, so I had to run over and take a picture of that. It's amazing. It's over 2,400 feet. That's
8.4 pounds and over 2,400 feet. That's amazing.
Yep. The second world's second longest mouth coil. Okay. I just wonder what kind of an animal could put that in his mouth. You know, where would that go? You know.
Well, I think I could have done it when I was a dinosaur, you know.
Yeah, way back then. In a prehistoric time, I think it might have been a time. So anyhow, we'll talk about the conventions. They've been very great. They'll be changing. Talk about the magazines and also the content that's on the website at
MagicSam.com.
That's MagicSam.com. I know that the IBM also, which is Magician.org, is looking to change its website and release that sometime. I don't know
this
when.
This week is what I hear.
Is that I've heard in August, but they keep pushing it times back and everything. So
well, we know that goes with SAM because we have to keep pushing ours back too.
Yeah, yeah.
So something would not be ready. Also, we've got the new Facebook fan page, facebook.com/ The Society of American Magicians.
The Society of American Magicians.
Yes, and we started off when we launched that a few months ago. We went for 2,400 people members.
Yep. Yep.
In 24 hours, and we made it with plenty to spare. So we've got a great follow-up. And
right. Because we did have SAM Compeers or something, I think.
Well, we still have the Compeers page, too, but that's mostly for members of the SAM. And the Society of American Magicians fan page is really for fans of magic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Al.
Thanks.
Glad you're enjoying the convention. They're standing here. Paul Stone just walked up. Hey, Paul. Yeah, you can say hello.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Feel fine,
how
thank
much
you.
Is this going to cost me?
It's absolutely free for you and the rest of the world to listen to the Magic Word podcast. You enjoying the convention?
Fantastic.
You put on your own conventions around here from time to time.
I have done that occasionally. The intervention, yes.
And that differs a lot from this, but although that's a business-related kind of thing.
No, it's not. It's completely different. Instead of it being a big convention, it's a very intimate convention of about 150 people with
you cut it off after
big surprises.
That.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, but we're not doing it. The last one we did was for Peter Raveen.
Yes.
Which was just in time,
just
fortunately.
In time, yeah.
And the next one we're doing is in 2015 in Liverpool, the week either on one side or other of FISM.
Okay.
FISM.
So after finishing Italy, stop on through.
That'll be the last one. Last time we ever do it. It's going to celebrate a Liverpool Mahatma Magic Circle, my magic club, their centenary. So we're tying it in with that. So
I
it's
see.
It's going to be a bit special. We have some very cool people coming.
You've already got some people booked and things.
Yeah. They don't know about it yet, but I have got them booked.
Well, hopefully you're going to have Jeff Hobson back.
He'll be one of the weaker acts.
Holy cow.
So that gives you an idea just how good it's going to be.
It's going to be. And if people want to get involved or register early, have you got a website?
Not yet, but look out for it. It's called The Intervention 2015 in Liverpool.
Okay. And this will be, they only had one other intervention, or do you have two?
No, I had two. I've had two.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. They've both been here in Vegas.
They've both been here in Vegas, yeah. One was 2010, one was last year.
You're well known for putting on these kinds of gargantuan events.
Big stage shows and corporate events.
That's right, so you know the difficulty of what this has been. What would you say about how well Stan has done with
Stan always does well. To be honest with you, I would never try and get 12 to 1400 magicians together. I couldn't think of anything harder to do. So he has a great team of people. They've all done really well. From what I can see, it's been pretty seamless.
Yep.
And the talent is phenomenal.
What have you enjoyed the most so far?
Honestly, I enjoyed, it's terrible, I can't remember his name, the Magic Healing session.
Oh, Kevin Spencer.
Kevin, I enjoyed obviously seeing Wayne because, and they showed the great clip of the London Palladium, which I've now produced 24 shows at the London Palladium, and I know the Palladium well, so it was great to see Wayne.
Right. Wayne Dobson, by the way.
And a lot of other friends here, obviously, but as far as sessions, those are two standout ones for me because where we also have this charity Magic Cares with Siegfried and Roy, which, which is so it's close to my heart.
It's kind of funny because I just before I spoke to you, I was talking with Noel Britton, and he was talking about the very same thing. And one of the two people, one was Joni Spina, and the other one was Kevin Spencer, important that is.
Yeah, Noel who? No, I don't know the name.
Know the name?
I'm sorry, no.
Yeah.
He doesn't have much hair, does he?
Well, he's getting less.
Yeah, I know.
Like most of us. Certainly. And so you've enjoyed the convention, and that you, of course, live in the...
I live in Vegas. I've been here nearly 5 years now, and we've got some interesting projects coming up, but we'll do some shows over at the Smith Center, which is the new performing arts place
here in Vegas. It'll be magic related?
Actually, the music related, actually, but we have some magic related stuff planned, but not until next year.
Mm-hmm. Great. The name of my podcast, Paul, is called The Magic Word Podcast. My question to you is, what is your magic word?
The magic word?
Yeah, what do you live by? What is your motto? What is important to you? What is gives your life meaning?
I'm a fairly great believer in the law of attraction. So for me, I think what you put out there is what you get back. I'm not sure it's one word, but I think if you treat people well, you get treated well. So
you get what you give.
You get what you give is exactly right.
Yeah, and more, I think, too.
Well, I think, yeah, and I mean, we're involved with a lot of charity work, and as Kevin said yesterday, what you get back is so much more than you could ever give out.
Right. Very good. That was Paul Stone over here still from the Magic Line. We got a lot more to go. Stay tuned. This is Scotty out. All right, I told you we were going to have some more conversations since we're just hanging out over here, and I got Steve Chesedey, star of Abbott's Get Together. Just got fresh off of that. How are you doing, Steve?
Good.
How was Abbott's, by the way?
Oh, it was a fun time. We had great weather this year, a lot of great acts from the East Coast, and of course, we did our thing.
Yeah, I heard that the evening shows were just really good. Jeff Williams, I heard, just did a great job as MC.
Oh, yeah. No, it was awesome. Everything, it's kind of a blur, because, I mean, we went from there, and then less than 12 hours,
back here in
Vegas. We're back over here, so... Mm-hmm. So it was pretty wild.
Well, I understand. Was of course last year was the 75th.
Right.
And they, Greg Borden was saying he didn't know how he's going to be able to top that. And how many people did have it at 76? Excuse me. Did they have a lower turnout, would you say, this year,
well,
registration-wise, do you hear?
You know, the only problem, I think, is there were a lot of conventions going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Magic Live is the next day, so...
Yeah, and after this, there's going to have the Midwest Magic Jubilee in St. Louis.
Well, there's that, but I think Kadabra is going on
Kadabra
at the very same
on.
Time.
Yep.
And there was even a Magic Week before it.
Yeah, that, what's his name, Rick Fisher had going.
Yeah, so it's a lot of magic all within a two-week period. So, but the numbers were still up there, and we had a lot of people attending. And it was awesome.
Well, let's talk about this convention. What have you enjoyed the most? What have you gotten out of this? What's,
oh, man.
And why do you come to this?
Oh, I've been coming since the very beginning that Stan put this together. I've been supporting him and Magic Magazine and even Inside Magic, which was a newsletter back in the whenever.
Yeah.
But... this convention, I mean, it's really hard to top each year, but there's some, you know, standout moments. The healing of magic was just very moving, if you saw that, with Kevin Spencer and my good friend Trent.
I smile because you're the third person and that I've talked to in a row consecutively who has mentioned that as being a highlight.
I actually know Trent. He's a friend of mine, and I actually introduced him to Kevin Spencer.
Interesting.
And so the pieces of the puzzle were falling together.
Wow.
Trent was in a wheelchair before he discovered magic.
And he was one, by the way, that was in the video for you guys who attended to see this as part of Kevin's presentation.
While the presentation was going on, I took a picture of Trent on the big screen and sent it to his mother.
Uh-huh.
And she was freaking out. And because it was, you know, I explained to her how big it was and how emotional it was here. So. a lot of crazy stuff, speaking of emotional.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, the stage shows are amazing. I know tonight we have a very special performance, and I know what it is, but I can't say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Aside from that, let's see, that dealer's room and anything else, anything in particular that you saw, you bought, or you couldn't do without?
I'm at the point where if I'm not going to use it, I don't need to buy it, but there's a lot of neat things there. I mean, boy, if you can't find something new in there, you're not going to find it anywhere else. I mean, it's the biggest dealer room in the States, at least. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah.
Appreciate your comments and everything. That you still have several more hours, you know, before the whole convention's over.
Yeah. No, I can't wait. Tonight's show is going to be off the charts.
Yeah.
Do you know about it?
I
have your
do.
Suspicions.
I kind of know. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm excited about that. So we could talk about this later to everybody
all
else.
All right.
They will hear this tomorrow. I'll have this up.
There you go. We can't let the cat out of the bag.
Not yet, in case somebody's listening over there.
Always nice talking to you.
Steve, thank you very much.
All right.
That was Steve Chesaday for The Magic Word. This is Scotty out. Steve.
It was a great
Thank
project.
You.
By the way, that Mark Kornhaus just walked by. I'm just going to take about 60 seconds, just real quickly, that you said you were looking for hopefully 100 people when I talked to you the first day, and you're getting closer?
We have 65, and I think if we stay up late and... We'll get to 100, which was our goal.
Yeah.
And but we didn't. We'll miss 100 that we wanted to. There was 100 others that we could have used.
Sure. Have you thought about actually going after specific people?
We have tried. You know, it's like herding cats at this convention. You know. Oh, I'm coming. But first I got to do this, and first I got to do that, and then you know.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I thought it was interesting that you had something set up here in the hallway earlier, and so if people see you and you kind of, you know, get to be a crowd, they're going to say, well, let me have do that next when they start to see that. When you're kind of, you know, unseen, then you're unknown. So
we're not so unknown. People are streaming in. We're doing them.
We had this part of the opening session. You kind of
that helped it. Yeah. That helped a lot. So it's just a slow process. You know, like when the cameraman oversleeps. those are the problems we're having.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're starting 2 hours late, and all our schedules now screwed up, and everybody that
showed up. Yeah.
It's the normal problems. You know, that we're having. But as far as the stories go, the stories that the magicians are telling. We've had some wonderful stories, some really poignant, heartfelt, you know, nostalgic tales of the how they began. Some are truly wonderful. You know, it's like everybody's got a Christmas story. You know, it's all almost like oddly poignant.
Yes.
Like you don't expect it to be poignant. And the next thing you know, it's like, wow, this old guy climbed a flight of stairs and this old man taught him a trick. Turns out it was Ed Marlowe who taught him the trick. And,
yeah.
And here's the cane that he showed, you know, a 60-year-old cane with a 60-year-old rice silk in it, and he performed it perfectly.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
What are just one or two things you would say they have in common? What are commonalities?
Commonalities is mostly male, of course, for reasons we're not sure about. 8 years old, very magic number, seems to be right around there. Because both grandparents or uncles or parents often responsible for a magic kit. Also very instrumental in most careers was a magic store. Also instrumental for many of the younger kids was the library. So things have changed. I'm not saying it's not going to go on, but it's not going to go on the same way.
Right.
From what we have seen very clearly across the board.
Well, it's kind of like the Long Beach Mystics. You know, that ended at 85, and there was a reason for that, because, you know, the Magic Castle Juniors program started, and there were other things that had happened and whatnot. So I think there are certain points in time, and perhaps there is enough of this in time to really have this as a bright line to make a change, you know, for something new, perhaps.
I think it's important that kids have a good way of learning a magic trick, because I think that will be a problem based on the things I've seen in terms of the lack of real training, the lack of real appreciation. You know, here's a trick I can fool you is about the level of a lot of YouTube stuff, whereas all of us began with somebody who cared, and, you know, we maybe took for granted the kind of nurturing that followed.
You know, did you see Ricky Jay's movie?
I didn't.
Because part of the title was mentorship, and it was talking about those who had mentored him, and his grandfather was a past president of the Society of American Magicians, and his grandfather had taken him over to Slidini's house, and some of the other guys who had mentored him at a very early age.
Of course.
And I think that that's what's important in a development.
In terms of accelerating, you can really see the difference. People who had some real mentoring, you know, and people who just kind of have got by.
Got by,
big difference.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you,
Scott. Okay, take care.
A pleasure. See you.
This is, Doug Anderson, kind of walking over. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How are things in Oklahoma?
They're doing great, yeah. What a great convention we're having.
Tell me about what you've enjoyed the most so far.
Well, one thing I've enjoyed the most is this. First of all, this is my first time ever to Magic Live.
Okay.
I heard about it from Roy Johnson several
years
ago.
You don't go to a lot of conventions.
No, when you're working, it's kind of difficult to do that.
But when you're on ships for so many years, then too, you know.
Exactly right. But, you know, Roy told us about it, and my friend Bob Gardner from Missouri came over, had a companion ticket, so it didn't cost me anything, so that's kind of nice, too. The best thing for me about this convention, not only is just the wonderful lectures that they have arranged, very clear, very concise, very easy to understand, not your run-of-the-mill magic stuff, like, you know, coming out here, nobody's doing the ball vase, you know, kind of magic, so it's really nice.
Or if they do, they're explaining the history of it, which is kind of interesting.
Well, yes, exactly.
Like,
right. And I really appreciate the history as well, and the poignancy and the friendship of this convention has been very, very fun and love to enjoy. The other thing that I've enjoyed about this from a personal point of view is reconnecting with old friends. I mean, I haven't seen Peter Samuelson in 30 years. I haven't seen Mark Kornhauser since he was in the Bahamas. You know, I just saw John Stetson walk past, and, you know, some guys that I've booked for corporate events, I haven't seen them in years, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
A chance to reconnect and, you know, say hey and realize I'm not the only one that's getting older, so that's kind of fun, too.
And that they're still around and still involved. And,
yes, absolutely.
And
still coming up with great new ideas and still an entertaining show. I was telling David Williams the other day, I said, first time I saw him was at TAOM in Fort Worth back in the late 70s.
Wow.
And I remember him doing a coin trick that I used to do, but he showed both hands empty on both sides. And I went, how in the world did you do that? He said, I just dropped it in my pocket. That is so stinking cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, and to see his very funny show last night, man, he's...
Yeah. With John Carney and John also Mr. Misto.
First time I'd ever seen Mr. Misto, and what a wonderfully fun act that was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he had done that show, I think, at the TOM sometime back. But again, I know you're on cruises or, you know, in different places or just working. You know, you don't, even though you're Texan, and then now Oklahoma.
Yes, so, yes.
There's really no border, no dividing line for you. You know, it's kind of Texahoma or Oklax.
Well, yeah, and if society collapses, I'm going to move back to the United States of Texas.
So. There we go. That's right, because we'll secede from the nation, is what they, the bumper stickers say over there.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Doug, good. Thanks very much. Enjoyed.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to see you again.
Good seeing you, my buddy.
Okay. Take care.
And so, for the magic word, this is Scotty out. All right, well, we're in the dealer's booth then right now, and I'm with Alki Van Dalken, who is a creator of a lot of great things that are cups and balls and coins and things. Alki, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And you came over just for this convention from?
The Netherlands? No, also for a workshop for with Armando Lucero for the third time already, and for the convention to show my Tommy Wonder items.
Tell me about the Tommy Wonder items. I know one of the things, of course, was the... Well, I'm not going to explain. Go ahead.
No, I have the socket coins. I have even the frozen lock. I got the paperclip from Elizabeth IV. And I have the ring watch wallet. We have the complete cups and balls bag. And we have the paper... Oh, yeah. And we have some boxes for card and box. And more to come.
Now, the ring watch wallet, as I recall, was from the Book of Wonder. I think he'd explained how to make that, but it's very intricate to make that. So I looked at it, and I thought I was going to try and make up one of those things. And after a very short time, I thought, I don't have the precision tool. So that was not something easy to make, is it?
No, it's a $1,200 item.
Yeah, so that should tell our listeners you know, something about how difficult that it is. That's not something that is...
But I had just a customer this morning. He bought it.
Yes.
And it's the same price what Tommy charged 10 years ago for it.
Well, and so in today's dollars, that's a discount for what it was when Tommy had it.
Yes.
Now, I assume, obviously, you were good friends with Tommy Wonder way back when. Did you kind of grow up together? Tell us something about it.
Not really. We did the last project, the Wandering Chimes, if you're familiar with it.
Yes.
And he has the idea and the design, and I came up with the solution. I don't have it here to show you, but it's... Next time, maybe.
Next time, okay. Now, how did you come across a solution? I mean, was it something, as you looked at it, it seemed obvious? Did you kind of sleep on it and then one morning woke up? Or how did you create the idea?
My mind is always bruising, boiling.
Boiling, yes.
With try to find solutions.
Bubbling.
Bubbling, yes.
And so... You're always thinking of different ideas. And like with the coins and everything, I mean, you have beautifully made coins, and I think at least half the price of what Jimmy Schoolcraft's coins and some others, I think yours are I think, very well made, and at a very affordable price.
If I want to make money, I have to quit magic, but I love magic, and I want to charge reasonable prices.
Yes. Now, you do this on a full-time basis?
No.
Then what is your profession?
The last year I did it on a full-time basis because I had a customer. He keeps me busy. Now I'm a whole year busy with really creating magic, but I'm going to restart my machine factory. We built very special machines,
yes,
and we're going to do it again.
Now, I just took a picture, which I'm going to be posting on the podcast then as well, of the very small cups, and there were three different sizes over there. What does that little that set of three cups run? Or do you sell those individually, or how do those sell?
Yes, the names came again from Bill Palmer, and he called us the Pico and the Nano cups, and the small cups are not for sale. That's like it's more a gag.
Yes,
because they're also solid.
Okay.
But the Nano and the Pico cups are for sale. The Nano cups are $65 and the Pico cups are $55.
And as I recall also that Bill had named the Monster cups, which are the world's largest cups as well.
Six inches,
which fit like a melon or something? Or what kind of load can you get underneath there?
What you can get under it, of course.
Exactly. Well, that's fantastic. And so you said that you gave a workshop with Armando. Was that before the convention?
Before the convention.
And where was that and who hosted that? Was that...
Armando.
Oh, well, he
did?
He did.
Okay. Was that at his place or something? Or where did
no,
they
we did it in his hotel room. We was with a group of four, with totally four magicians.
Yes. And were you just giving ideas on cups and balls and presentation of what was,
no,
what
no,
was your workshop?
Armando,
what was your part of it?
No, Armando gives a workshop on card and coins.
Okay. And in, but what was your participation? What was your part? Are you just come to be part of his?
It's, I did it already for the third time. The first time I said 7 days one-on-one only on the Matrix.
Yes.
And then I came a few days, I'm already for the fourth time. I came back only for the cards. And then I came back for to get more ideas from him.
Yeah.
And now we have an extension. We have four different endings. We have, I think we have seven or eight faces totally we can use. And a lot of ideas.
Right.
How to create real magic.
How to create real magic.
Yes.
Very interesting. Thank you very much. Alki, before we leave, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. So my question to you is what your magic word is. It wouldn't have to be necessarily like, you know, abracadabra or hocus pocus, but, you know, something, what is your philosophy of life? What is your motto? What's important to you? Could be a phrase.
One day not living is, often one day not smiling is one day not living.
One day not smiling is one day not living.
I don't know how to correct translate it because I have a sticker on my front door.
What would that say in your language?
Een dag niet gelachen is een dag niet geleefd.
There we go. So those people who are international and listening, if you understand his language, you can interpret it as you wish. Thank you, Alki, very much. I appreciate that. That's over the floor of the dealer's floor, Magic Life. Scotty out. All right, well, as I was sitting at the booth over there, then Doc Eason walked by, and so I thought I would say hello. Howdy, Doc. How you doing?
Good, Scotty boy. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You hold the thing. I'll stand over here.
All right. Kind of sit back over the waist where it's... They're having an auction, I guess. This is part of the...
I guess, yeah. They're having an auction. It's Potter and Potter.
I was going to say, Gabe Fury's having a... Yes, I thought that was going to be... Is today Tuesday? I thought it was going to be on Tuesday, but they must have made it on Wednesday. I must have misunderstood. So you kind of hear that going on in the background. You're not working here this year. You just kind of came to hang out.
This is my first Magic Live, actually.
I thought you worked at doing... Didn't they do bar magic here a couple
they
of...
They did, but there was another young fellow that used to work in the mountains that they to have there. And I sat out that particular... Actually, I've had things going on.
Yeah.
When this thing first started, I was taking my son to college for the first time. It was like, take your son to college or go to Magic Live.
Yeah.
And then forget about the rest of my life. So,
yeah.
This is my first time here. And I... there aren't enough superlatives in the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to FISM before.
Yeah.
And
this is not FISM.
And the Blackpool. And Blackpool is unique in its own way.
Yeah.
This is staggeringly good.
Yeah.
The general sessions, Scott, you've been in them. I can't wait to go to the one this afternoon.
Oh, you're blue, so you haven't seen the one this morning.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And
you
that's
have
another.
Seen the first two. Yeah. So you'll enjoy today's.
I know.
I'm not going to tell you.
I know.
It's great.
Emotional roller coaster. You've been laughing hysterically on one end. Wayne Dobson's thing yesterday afternoon was so inspirational and so heartfelt, and I'm getting choked up just thinking about that.
Really see today's. Of course, what Kevin Spencer had to say then yesterday.
Oh, God. There wasn't a dry eye in the house at that thing. I mean, that was so. So the range. I've always been a fan of a speaker who can put you on the floor with laughter and then have you scream. Tears the next
being
moment.
A speaker yourself, you know, I try to attain that.
I mean, it's an aspiration to try and get to, and they have accomplished that in spades here.
I was thinking of you whenever the Wayne Dobson was saying yesterday, because you always say laughter is the best medicine, and I thought that was a great line where he said, unless you're diabetic.
Yeah, and insulin's a better choice. Yeah, hysterical. Wayne is just, I mean, he's in there, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just wonderful to see him interact, and even though you can't hear him very well, he's weak, but it was terrific. So, the camaraderie and the theme this year was friends, right? And the whole Long Beach Mystics thing, and that show had to have been one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the fact of the emotion and the history and the legs and the interaction between the members of the cast. If they'd put 10 disparate acts together with none of that history behind it, that was still one of the best shows I've ever seen. But you add that level of emotion and feeling to it, it's just, you know, it's astounding. I mean, it affects you deeply. And, you know, magic is, you know, it's a find in the card, but how do you affect them? You know, people don't remember what you did, you remember how you made them feel. And this yes. thing here, there's just a feeling amongst all the people here. I'm just feel blessed to even be in the room.
Yeah, you kind of look around, and I'm the same way, too. I mean, I deeply appreciate our friendship we've had for so many years, you know, and it's great to see friends like this. And when you kind of walk through it, this has been a long enough convention that you really get a chance to sit down and say something, rather than, hey, how you doing? Hello, hey, hey. You
know. Yeah, that's what I was afraid of coming into this thing, because now with the, you know, after the magazine, everybody knows me anyway, I guess, you know. As Bill Malone once said, oh, you're Doc Eason. And when the first time we met each other, he said, oh, you're Doc Eason. Every layman in the world knows you. But, you know, so I guess I'm fairly well known in the magic.
Yes.
But with the magazine cover, it just seems like...
That kind of helps.
I can't. It takes me a half an hour just to walk 30 feet, which is fun. I'm not complaining. I love it. But, I was afraid of, like, I'm not going to have enough time to chat with my friend Scott or my friend, you know. But there is, it is long enough so that you do have some time. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I just, you know, this is a really great convention.
The best thing that you've enjoyed so far, what's been a highlight? I mean, you've mentioned some of them already that kind of came to mind. Did you get to see, by the way, Ricky Jay's movie?
No,
I haven't. Subject practices?
No. There's a limit at certain points. Like this morning sessions, the wheels begin to fall off the bus after the third day, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe I'm...
I'm older, man.
I know. It's hard. And I was invited to the secret party last night, you know?
Yeah.
At CK's house. And then I didn't get home till 3:30 or something. I was, you know, turned the lights off at 4:00 and I was up at 7:00, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a little more selective in the things that I do. But this is a really great convention.
Yeah. So. On so many different levels. Well, look, I don't want to take much more of your time because I know there's more people you want to kind of visit.
There's a ton more people. You bet, Scott.
Yeah.
Great
thanks
to see you.
Okay.
Thanks for all you're doing with this podcast. It's
thank you very much. So, Matt Blythe, this is Scotty out.
I'm your host, Mr. Stan Allen.
We were last year.
Thank you, thank you, 1,500 times. Thank you for coming and joining us. I hope you've had a good time. Did you enjoy the show tonight? Wow, I thought that was fun. Boy, I wanted that show for a long time. I'm so excited we have it. As I mentioned earlier in the day, our finally parties have been... Well, not this one tonight. We have great pasta, we have our bars open, you have friendship from everything, and we have a surprise. What we wanted to do was to create the ultimate finally. And what happened is that one of the legendary acts in magic happened to mention they were going to retire the act. And they graciously agreed to do it one more time for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the finest magician from Poland, the great Tom Sony and Company! Thank you.
John Thompson's been my friend and mentor for 33 years. I have learned more magic from Johnny than anyone else in the entire world. Woo! And I thank
tell you this, but Thompsonian Company is not the best act in magic. It is the best act in the motherfucking world. Thompsonian Company. Every time we rehearse, and Johnny comes to one of our rehearsals, every piece of magic we put in with Johnny. Johnny has been working with us. There's no one in this room who has ever even thought about magic that hasn't been heavily influenced by Johnny Thompson. Every moment of our show is put together by Johnny Thompson. We are not fit to eat shit off his shoes. He is not just the greatest magician you've ever been in a room with, he's the greatest person you've ever been in a room with. Life itself. Johnny and Pam are our best friends. They put together everything we've done. And if anyone thinks I'm exaggerating, I'll kick your ass.
And as the end company of Penn and Teller, I would confirm what Penn said. Johnny is, for a person who calls himself retired at this point, the busiest human being on the planet, including 9 of the current pieces in our show were developed completely with Johnny. The next 3 that go in are being developed with Johnny. Johnny designed the magic for Play Dead, the play that I directed in New York. Next spring, we're doing The Tempest. Johnny's the magic brain behind that. And I should tell you this one little moment. The other night, we were rehearsing. It was Friday night. We started it early in the morning. We worked all the way through. It was 9 o'clock at night. Everybody at the Little Tempest rehearsal was falling down tired. And I went to pee. And when I came back, everybody was gathered around Johnny, who was doing a card trick. And the only person with the energy to continue at that point, but also when he finished, everybody was completely brought to life again. And I thought, wow, this is what magic really can do.
Back page of the next issue of the magazine, right there. Take a look at that. It should be up on the on there.
And here's the original artwork for you. It's really good.
Thank you so much, Stan. Thank you so very much, everyone. I love you all.
And I brought something too, John. It's a party, so I brought the cake.
Yeah! Yeah! Now, that's a very nice cake. Well, that's very nice.
Johnny's picture's on the cake.
You piker.
I went to Cake Cultures.
Did you?
Just to say hello to him.
Did you bring it out for everybody?
Oh. As a matter of fact, I brought the whole 6-pack. And they all have cake. We'll be right back. the finally, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you all enjoyed the second annual retirement performance by Tom Sylvia and Company.
Convention's over, and we've had our finally party, and now I'm just tagging along with Stan as he kind of makes his way around and shakes hands with people and saying, telling what a great convention it was and how much fun that it was. And so everybody's been enjoying this. So anyhow,
thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Stan.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Did we get you into that fringe thing at all?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hope you had fun. Got some good pictures?
I got a few. I don't think they were great. All right.
Sleep well when you get the chance.
Hey, this was fun.
Everywhere we go, we just say thank you over here. So for such a great time and a great convention that we've had.
Very quick?
All right, yep. Got to be as quick as I can because I know you still... This guy, oh, there's John right there.
Okay.
Let's go over there. Do you want to... So, yes, thank you for your time and thanks for the great convention. You're hearing that from everybody. Did it meet your expectations?
I think it did. And you know what? Throwing a convention is not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Throwing a surprise on Johnny and Pam with Lance, Ben, and Teller and the girls.
Yes.
Now, that was difficult.
I should say so.
Just trying to keep everybody backstage without seeing each other. It was just great fun.
So though. They didn't know about each other.
Pam and John had no idea there was anything going on after their thing. They didn't know. Penn and Teller, total surprise.
Oh, was?
Yeah, total surprise. The girls, total surprise. Everything was
and the
total
cake
surprise.
And everything. So
the
that
cakes,
was just
everything
yeah.
was a surprise.
Yeah, that was just such a great way to cap things. So when you were saying, you know, don't miss it, you got to be here for that. And so, but John and Tom, John and Pam obviously knew they were going to be coming, and this was going to be
this
the last
was
thing.
The thing. That's why we changed over our dealer's room because we could only do it one time.
Yes.
It had to be a moment that people would walk away saying, I was there for that moment.
For that moment, yeah.
That's why we turned the room over in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Amazing job by our dealers and our cast and crew.
You know, David Lindsell had taken some fabulous photos. He was showing, I guess, the teardown and everything. And
it was
to think
amazing.
That was, to think that that was where that was, it was like kind of like, again, Brigadoon.
Brigadoon. That's our deal.
Great convention. Thank you, Stan, very much for putting
Thanks,
it together.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All
thank
right.
you.
Okay, talk to you later. That was Stan Allen.
Thanks for everything.
So, it was a great convention, as you heard from everybody, as they're kind of going around and telling him what a good time that it was. And that was just a whole heck of a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm seeing Kerry Pollack and Fred Becker, David Bull, John Lovick, Joshua Jay, there's Penn, Gillette, oh golly, just everybody, you know, is here and around. Bob Swaddling, yeah, just kind of walking around. There's Simon Aronson, some guys who passed international presidents, Mike Miller, Mark Whitehouse, there's Fred Casto, Obie O'Brien, Joan Caesar, golly, some other people, just so many friends, so much fun. It's just such a great convention. We'll also point out that they did have a full dinner prepared over there of pasta dishes that And then you just heard what Sam was saying about what the surprise that was, of course, then with us having the cake and everything, plus, I guess, with Penn and Teller and Lance Burton surprising Johnny Thompson and Pam. And this was just phenomenal. So much fun and a really great convention. So for now, and from Magic Live, here's Milt Larson. I'm going to talk over here then to Milt. All right.
3 minutes.
It's going to be a little bit longer, 3 minutes. So I got Milt Larson with me over here then for the podcast. And that's hello. We didn't get to hear from you today because I guess they were kind of running short in time. And they just kind of had a great little presentation, talk about 50 years of the castle. And
well, they had a wonderful presentation, which it was a surprise to me. I didn't know they were doing that.
Is that right? You didn't know that either? Okay.
Yeah. You know, Stan had asked for some pictures from our archivist, if you will. All he told me was you ought to come and see the last part of that. But they didn't expect me to say anything, and I didn't say anything.
Just kind of stood up and recognized that you were over there.
We were in the back row of the theater.
And I thought that was a nice little touch that everybody exiting the theater then got a special Magic Castle flashlight. Is that compliments of you?
That's compliments of us. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much. There have been so many special moments, you know, here at the convention.
Yeah, there's little flashlights that are so handy. They're very bright LED.
LED lights, yeah.
So Stan needed 1,400 of them, so we just set them to him.
Yeah. Well, that was great. It was very good.
But it's very nice. Well, Stan just does a great convention. And of all, my 80 years of hanging around, when I was a kid, we used to go to Magic conventions, and I've probably seen more Magic conventions than anybody. But most of them are Magic conventions.
Yes.
And this one is so much fun. He's always got surprises. He doesn't tell people who are going to be on.
Right.
And this one was no exception.
Well, you've seen a lot of Magic at conventions, but not only that, I guess, living in Brookledge and growing up, with your dad and brother and everybody else, the kind of Magic that happened, that you've had so many moments, I'm sure.
Well, we have our It's Magic show, which is an annual show.
You speak the Wilshire Beverly.
Well, for 20 years it was at that theater, and it's been going on for 56 years.
It's still going? Have that? I remember many years ago, in the 80s or something, and I think you had a promotion that was, because it was around October, and had something with the grocery store, so they had grocery bags that had some drawings, that way the kids can cut out the eyes, and they can color it, then on the back.
We were doing the show around Halloween, so it made sense to have the thing. And Shirley Carroll, our publicist, was brilliant, and she sold the grocery store market.
Advertising on the grocery bags. Yeah.
And so they had, I think it was 300,000 bags that went out with a little 50 cents off coupon or something.
I think I kept one of those.
We sold out the shows.
Is that right?
It was a great promotion.
Yeah. Because they were people going to the grocery and they brought it home, and the kids saw that and they said,
go to His Magic.
I thought that was a great idea. Did they just do that one year?
What?
Did they just do that that one year?
Just the 1 year, there's a Hughes Market, which was a big chain at that time.
Yeah.
And that show happened to be around Halloween, so really some of the shows would be in spring. This year, for instance, we've done 9 shows all the West Coast, Performing Arts Centers.
Now, that's not the show that Dale Salwick takes on the road, is it?
It's similar, but it's called It's Magic, and
they still do the posters? Do they still make the posters they used to for those?
But we've been doing posters for a long time. Our next one is in November at Thousand Oaks, which is just outside of Washington.
And who's going to be in that show?
I'm glad you asked. No, it's a great show because one of my favorite people had his own show here in Vegas, and just came back from Asia, And who am I talking about?
It's not Jan.
No, Thomas.
Rick Thomas.
Rick Thomas. Thank you. Isn't that awesome?
Two brains get together. Maybe we can come up with one.
You get my age, and he's doing the whole second half.
Okay.
Which he's first time he's actually been back to the United States. And the first half, as a matter of fact, I'm doing my crazy comedy act.
Oh, good, yes.
Which I've only done on It's Magic about twice ever.
Ever?
But they wanted me to do it, so I've got to do it.
Now, do you produce these still or not? Are you still involved as a producer?
Oh, yeah. Terry Hill and I produce it. And Terry's been doing it with me for the last 15 years. And, of course, my brother Bill and I have been.
Yeah.
But it's been going on for 56 years, and Cass is 50 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what was one of the, boy, there's so much to talk about. I could spend hours, you know, talk with you about the Magic Castle and the development of it and your life and everything. And you had a book that was out then recently, too. Tell us something about that.
A brand new book.
Fix that a little bit.
It's actually not a brand new book. It's been out since January. I guess that's a brand new book.
Yeah. Still 2013
here. Yeah, it's called My Magical Journey, The First 30,000 Days. And that refers to the fact that I was born in a magic family.
Yes.
So, and I'm 82 now. When I started writing a book, I was about 80, and so mathematically it worked out to 30,000.
Makes sense, yeah.
But it's just an autobiography of all the crazy stuff I've done over the years. And that includes writing for Truth or Consequences.
Right.
And
Bob Barker?
Oh,
Truth or Consequences, yeah, sure.
And I did that for 18 years. And
tell me one of the, a couple of stories, you know, from the book. What are a couple of good stories that come to mind?
Oh, it's just filled with story, because what it is it's over the years, in addition to the Magic Castle and its magic and all the magic things, I've been a comedy writer, and it's the experiences of, you know, TV and produced shows. So
right.
The book itself is just filled with stories about all this stuff. But, you can pick any stories. There's stories about Cary Grant at the Magic Castle, and those are always fun. But
was he a magician, actually? I mean, did he have an interest in magic?
He was a very good magician,
okay.
He never performed.
Yeah, but just for friends? I mean, he would show people impromptu things or card tricks? Did he come to the lectures?
Well, he was on the board of directors.
I knew that, yes, but I just wondered if he participated and actually went to the lectures and learned magic.
Well, if he wanted to, he did.
Yeah.
He was kind of a busy guy, but he was a wonderful guy. I met him originally, this is one of the stories, but I was working for Abbott's Magic on Sunset Boulevard when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And
that's right, they had an L.A. Store. Yeah,
shortly, but it was there. George Boston was running it. And I was just a sales clerk. And George went to lunch one day and left me minding the store. And Cary walked in.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him. It was Cary Grant, who at that point was the superstar of superstars, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And Mr. Grant. So he said he'd like to see some of the tricks. So I showed him, little simple tricks to big tricks. And he loved it. I'll take that.
Yeah.
So by the time he left, he racked up about $300 worth of...
A lot of money back then, yeah.
Well, in 1940s,
yeah.
That'd be like $3,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, so George Boston came back and Cary takes his boxes and stuff out to his car with him. And lovely man. And so George Boston came back in after he got to lunch. He said, anything particular happened while I was gone? And I said, yeah, a guy came in, bought about $300 worth. $300 worth of stuff? You're kidding. Yeah. Who would, I said, what's an actor.
That's some actor.
I knew him.
Yeah.
I just put him on. And he said, what actor? And I said, Cary Grant. You didn't call me. You didn't tell me he was here. He was really mad at me. I thought he was going to get fired on the spot. And then later I got to know him very personally, and he actually flew to New York in his private jet one time. A lovely man. He was very involved with the castle and with our variety arts downtown. Is another theater.
And I understand that Neil Patrick Harris, of course, as president, is very involved as well. I mean, and of course, as a magician. And so do you see that he has that same spark that Cary had?
Definitely. He's today's Cary Grant, and he's doing so much in television and hosting the Emmys and hosting the Tonys. And he's got that thing. And he was one of the junior members of the Magic Castle.
Neil
was.
Oh, okay.
And he was Doogie Howser.
Yes, back then even. Okay.
He loves magic, and he's been a big spark plug.
Were there any stories that after the book was published that you thought, that was another thing that I forgot, I should have put in the book, or has it got it all?
Well, Stan's magazine, Magic Magazine, and I've been doing an article every month on the history of the castle. Mm-hmm. It's December. He wanted to do one a month for the whole year. So all those are stories about things that I thought of after the book came out.
Right.
Stan said after the last one I'm doing, I just finished writing the October issue, but when they're all done, he said he's got to do a little...
lead time, of
book
course.
Of them, and it's kind of a souvenir. I hope he does.
Right.
It's fun. But you never run out of stories. If you live as long as I have,
you get tons of stories.
The thing is, one story will do it, and then all of a sudden you'll be sitting at the bar at the Magic Castle, which I do quite often, and somebody will mention, that's a story. And I try to make a little mental note of it. I say, you're right about it.
Well, I remember, and it may have been the first time that I worked at the castle, and I would have been around 81, I think, we had and doggone it, you help me with his name, he was a ventriloquist, and he used to be on Ed Sullivan's show, and he had Topo Gigio, what's his name?
Oh, sure.
We're thinking of his name, and I remember him coming to my show, and then later that you had something...
Senor Wences.
Senor Wences, thank you. Then they had some sort of reception, I think, for him over at the Wilshire. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a nice little thing.
Well, he was on one of our awards banquets, and that was... he was a great guy, and I had him on one of our It's Magic shows.
Did you? Well, speaking of that, this magic show, of course, this was Johnny Thompson's farewell performance in tonight. I assume that he's been on at least one of the It's Magic shows.
Oh, several.
I would think it's several of the shows.
He's actually on the longest running It's Magic in one spot. It started as a one-night show. And then back in somewhere early 80s or late 70s, it ran for almost 3 weeks at one theater, so...
Had an extended run, or was it planned for 3 weeks?
No, it wasn't planned. It was just
extended
1 week, and then it went to two. And at that time, we owned the theater, so it was pretty good. Yeah. We had a 1,200 seat theater, a variety of arts theater downtown.
Now all the things.
But we had Rich Yardy on that show, and
that was the name I was trying to think of the other night. I was talking to somebody about a show that he did when he would do the buzzsaw illusion, and he would finish. He wouldn't put the girl back together, but he had blood splattered every place.
Well, that was the Latin American way of doing this. Paco Miller and Rich Yardy both did that, and I guess the Fu Manchu did it.
Right.
And they do the buzzsaw or something, and you go to the butcher shop and get the innards of...
the cattle or whatever, and the pigs.
Scare the hell out of the audience, and they all run out of the theater, and they buy tickets and come back again.
Yeah, and they didn't know whether it was live or not.
they just mutilated. Couldn't do that today.
No, I would think that, be a... You couldn't, exactly. Well, anyhow, it's been a great convention, overall.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Great talking to you.
Good talking to you. Thank you very much. By the way, let me ask you, and I think this is an important question for you, because the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word.
You what?
The Magic Word Podcast. And so my question to you is, what is your magic word? It wouldn't necessarily have to be like abracadabra. It could be your, what is your motto, your slogan? What do you live by? What is important to you? What makes you tick? What's your magic word or phrase?
Well, I think the basic phrase is nothing's impossible.
nothing.
And I totally agree with that. There are so many people in the world that give up because they don't open enough doors to see what's behind them. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid, you know, they got a good job, but maybe the family's okay. And unfortunately, they never do anything in life.
Because they're comfortable.
And
they get to a certain
all
point.
I've ever done is, I've always been curious, I open that door and see what's on the other side. And I've been very successful doing that with theaters and TV shows and things. Yeah. But I think that's it. If magicians, per se,
yes,
will not accept the fact that you can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, if you say, I want somebody to float, don't float them.
Yeah.
You want them to vanish, don't vanish them. There's only so many things.
Yeah.
There's only so many ways you can do it. Now, it might be phony. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's impossible.
But nothing's
impossible. Well, I guess that's kind of like you say, you've always opened the door. I think that Michael Weber was talking about, I think your brother had said that he felt like that he was trying to prevent the snowball from going down the hill or something.
Yeah.
Could you relate that story exactly? You remember how he said that?
Well, actually, it's a story out of one of my books, but and that story is simply that in the early days, Bill was very involved with the Academy of Magical Arts setting up the club, and I was more involved with
the physical
creating
building.
The Magic Castle and the Mayfair Music Hall, which is a theater in Santa Monica, and a variety arts theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always going on. I've never could stand being stopped, you know.
Yeah.
So the story is just simply that I'd like it. There's good old Milt, and they have rolling this snowball to the top of the hill in like Bavaria or something, no matter where it was. And I'd get the snowball to the top of the hill, and then I'd push it over, and it's rolling down the hill, gathering bigger and bigger and stuff. And my brother would be standing there saying, oh, my God, here comes this thing. And then he'd go down and save the village and all the people.
Yeah.
And after he saved the village, he looks up and sees me on the hill with another snowball.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
That's funny. Milt Larson, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. It's been wonderful. And so for Magic Live, that was Milt Larson.
Great.
Scotty out.
Hey, Scotty here again. Do you have a thought, comment, or suggestion for this podcast? Would you like to have these podcasts longer, shorter, or are they just right? Are there questions that you'd like for me to ask some people during my chats? Do you like the format of my podcasts, and are they easy to download and hear? Post your comments on the Magic Word blog or through iTunes. Or you can send me a direct private message to scott@scottwells.com. You've heard from me, now I look forward to hearing from you. Scotty out.